This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In God's creations, human beings are the most highest form of creations. We just appreciate His creations. By doing this, it is appreciation and tribute to God's creations.
This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Syed Tajuddin Sheikh Abu Talib, a 72-year-old artist from Penang, is being honored with a retrospective at the Penang State Museum and Art Gallery, which will run till the end of the year. The artist, as a young man, a schoolboy no less, had his work included among other artists in the inaugural exhibition at the museum when it opened in 1965. Now, 50 years later, he's back with an impressive collection. Welcome.
Thank you.
What was your experience that most influenced you as an artist, that made you say, I want to be an artist?
It is after completing my Sine Cambridge, I went to India for further studies. I got a place at the Madurai University. Madurai is a very historical and ancient city, and one time it acts as a center for Tamil culture, Tamil literature and all. So while I was studying pre-university courses, I was introduced to Tamil literatures and fine arts.
What did you go there to study?
My parents sent me to study medicine, but unfortunately I couldn't get into the science stream. So they put me into art stream. So that influenced me a lot, because while I was in India earlier, during the 7 years, I studied Tamil school and have a basic knowledge of Tamil language. So in universities, the students have given two options: to study French or Arabic or Tamil. I took Tamil, with the help of the professors, I got some extra classes and all. Tamil literatures, the music, art, dance, while I was studying that, some or other, the Madurai city is known as the temple city, big temples, with full of sculptures and architectural. Everything interests me. Why not I go deeper into this literatures and arts and all? So I found out that the School of Fine Arts in Madras is one of the very prestigious colleges. Why not I go and study? So I told my parents, I want to be an artist. They were quite shocked, because they're very new to them. Art is not...
cannot earn a living.
Yeah, that's a problem. You see, any parents, good parents, want their children to be,
doctors.
So they were reluctant, but seeing my determination and all, then they gave my their blessing. So with their blessings, I joined the School of Fine Arts in Madras.
But even before this, though, while you were growing up in Malaya, in Penang, you participated in art competitions.
Yeah, very true. Yes. I want to tell you an incident. I was in the Westland Primary School. I was in the standard 4. The storytelling competition was to be there. There are also some art competition also, story, describe the view, visualize the stories. I normally do children's story into art form, I draw and then the notebook.
Did you tell the story or did you just visualize them?
Visualize them. So next morning I was walking by my friends, my classmates. Oh, Syed, your drawing is displayed on the board, display board.
And you only stand at 4.
I was saving my exercise book, was displayed. I didn't take notice of it. I did just like any other thing. But slowly... You see, those days, textile shops on Penang, whenever you buy a sarong, any clothes or anything, they put that materials inside the handbag. That handbag, the cover, will be a nice lady, Malay lady with the kabaya, So my father, whenever he buys things for my mother, so I always collect that handbag. And then I begin to draw, see that copy.
You copied them.
Copy them and then collect it. I get wake up from my father every time. He scold me, why waste time, with a,
drawing as drawing wasting all. Time.
So, but it became a habit. Those days, there's an inter-competition, art competition. Always they have, like Chang Ling High School, Han Chang School and all. They will invite all the students to participate. So I used to participate. I got awards also, a lot of awards and all. So while I was in secondary school, I was the secretary to the art club. It is where I think 1965, I was in Form 5. Raja Sir Uda, he opened the Penang Museum and Art Gallery. So to celebrate that occasion, they invited all the artists to participate. Even though I was a school student, I gave one.
By this time, then people must have known that this is what you are going to do. Your parents must have seen you draw enough times, paint enough times, win enough competitions that they say, you know, send this boy to an art school, not to medical school.
Not in our community, They say, our community, all my friends are either engineers, doctors, architects, or lawyers, I also, when I went to India to study, I also didn't realize that now I'm going to do as an artist. My father's advice was, this is not a regular income, and then nobody respect you.
What is an artist in your opinion?
You cannot learn anything and all. It is through your blood, it is a gene, You must have the gene, the creativity, then only,
So what you're saying to me is an artist is born. An artist is not something that is over time created.
I don't think so. Because I feel that whenever you sit on the canvas, the energy flows, so energy flows. I also sometimes after finishing the paintings, I always think, did I this painting? So somewhere along the line, something happens, make you a creator and do it on the spot, and then come out there.
Plato, in writing about artists, he said they become possessed by some kind of a spirit and then they paint. And that's why they're very dangerous people. So you're a dangerous person.
Something is controlling, Something is controlling me. Sometimes if you look at all my works in the book, sometimes you think, wonder, did I do all this?
That's dangerous, isn't it?
I do not know. It's a positive thinking like this. Positive thing. Might be my mission in this world is to create something good for the country and live.
How would you define your style?
You see, in my college, in the art curriculum, that is the syllabus.
But that's when you were in India.
Yeah. It is a must for every artist to travel all around all over India and visit all the monasteries, temples, galleries, monuments, everything to do with art, creativeness. First year, I went to the South India. The second year, I went to the Central India. The third year, I went to North India. So India, India is a very big country and we have to select the places and all. So while I was in second year, I went to Central India where the Ajanta and Ellora caves are. They carved rocky mountains into 32 caves and painted on it inside. The stories are Lord Buddha. It is the reincarnation of Lord Buddha stories. According to their stories, Lord Buddha have lived 32 times in different forms, from the animal, birds, something like that. The last is Lord Buddha, human beings. The frescoes has been done 200 years before Christ and then finished 200 years after Christ. That means 400 years. To carve, to make the caves, So it took them 400 years. That means four generations, things they've completed. So the paintings all done, So because of the time factors, because of 400 years, of workmanship, I saw very big, huge paintings, large paintings, wall paintings. So that background of the colors, what you're seeing in the my paintings, all that.
Carry those colors.
Colors and all. That's where
it's very bright oranges and reds.
And sometimes the colors also peel off, so you can see the emptiness there. So this kind of color, Eureka, I found it. So this is what I wanted. Immediately after the tour, I came back and I want to do a big paintings, What subject do I take to do the painting? Then only when because I'm a student of literature, I studied the Mahabharata and Ramayana, so I chose Ramayana, you know. I took the very important parts of the Ramayana stories. I did it in 2.5 years. As a student, when I was a student, so I started doing.
Sai Tajuddin, artist. When we come back, we'll ask him more about his art and about his time in Malaysia after coming back from India. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
I came back and I want to do a big paintings, you know. What subject do I take to do the painting then?
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng speaking with Sai Tajuddin, an artist who is being honored in a retrospective at the Penang State Museum and Art Gallery, which will run till the end of the year. You were telling me about going into these caves, which are man-made, 400 years in the making, paintings and all that, and you're influenced by the colors, and then looking at all these different temples. And this one is actually about Buddha and the paintings. How have these influenced what you do in Malaya?
That's a very good question. After seeing that the works, the paintings in Ajanta, they are storytelling, you know. They are telling the story of Lord Buddha. I am a literature student plus artist. Combined the literature and my painting. So I want to tell the story of Lord Rama, that is Ramayana, because it is one of the greatest epic. People are talking Ramayana, Mahabharata. What it's all about? It is warning about the evils of greediness.
Greed and corruption.
Evils of arrogance and the evils of misusing of power. These are the three things will destruction will come. This warns you on destruction and death also. These books have been written, you know, more than 7,000 years ago. Our ancestors know what we are going to. We are weak. It's all weaknesses of a human being. This is what is emphasized. So I want to do also, you know, what the painting maybe so I have done, you know, when I was a college student. And after my college, I came back. I got a place. I was teaching in the Mara. In India, I already done the Ramayana. Here, what shall I do?
Malaysian stories.
So I collected, read about Malay literature, you know, our history and all. So the Malacca Sultanate series attracted me. We have great figures, Sang Tua. The stories of Masuri, and then Hang Jabbar, Hang Lipov, and then Parameswara, of course, the first and last Hindu king, you know, who founded Malacca. So, this is what is I'm going to do, I conclude. Then I start the influence, you know, coming of advent of Islam, you know. Islam doesn't come straight to Malay Peninsula. It came through the Arabian traders, and Indian traders, they have a good contact and trading partners with Aceh, you know, Aceh. So while they were doing, the Aceh local people were attracted towards this, the traders, because they're very successful people, you know, wealthy people also. They also followed their religion, and most of them have become Muslims. That period only, our Parameswara, who rules Malacca, happened to marry the Achenese princess. Who was a Muslim, and then he too automatically converted. When Parameswara converted, all his subjects in Malacca also converted.
So in your paintings, you basically tell the stories.
Yeah, I'm a storyteller.
Just like when you were in Standard 4, visualizing stories.
Yes.
So it hasn't changed that much from that perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. This all is a God's, I think, a mission. My mission is to tell, because nowadays, you know, there's a dispute. Hang Tua has not been documented, so he don't exist. So we don't need to. It is not that, you know, Hang Tua. You go to still Malacca, Hang Tua, Hang Jabbar. Everything is embedded together like a putumayam. You know, you cannot separate. If you separate, all is his friends, his associate, whoever, disappeared. Everything disappeared. What do the Malay cultural heritage have? Nothing. It's a flat, you know. Understand? So we have to, you see, even if you talk about Toa, he's a fable story. He's an embodiment, he's a role model for patriotism. He obeyed his sultans and he's a warrior. He's a Mahaguru for the Silat. You know, even today in the Kampong side, when the club, Kampong, before they start their Silat, they used to pray some praise for him and then start their work. So he's a very important character for the development of a child's mind, and our children must have that type of, you know, character too. So I documented all this.
Now, you're telling me that, you know, you document our Malayan stories, Malaysian stories. But reading the catalogue or this retrospective, the person who wrote about you said that, you know, you are very much a painter of love as your theme.
Yes.
So how does this thing about stories and love come together?
You understand? I have different kind of projects I have. That is legendary stories, you know, I have, because these are documentation, you know, and also the feelings, the love between. That is the essence of life, you know. Without love, nothing is flat, you know. How God has made in such a manner, you have feelings and attraction, you know, South Pole, North Pole, you know. If you don't have attraction, you cannot get married and you cannot get children and fruit. So these are the things. It's a kind of science, you know. It's a God play, you know. It's a kind of, he plays, you know, different.
But a lot of people think that the love of man and woman should not be depicted in paintings because it's sometimes a bit provocative or crude or whatever the word might be.
No. You see, if it is that case, so many poems, you know, the poets, you know, writers, like Shakespeare, Romeo, Juliet and all, still, you know, even though it is imaginative, when you talk Romeo, Juliet, you know, they appear in front of you, you know. They are the embodiment of, even though they, see, great loves are unsuccessful love. Most of the
unsuccessful tragedies. Everybody dies.
Yeah. No? So these are the things. So we cannot sigh away from them. If you go to India, there's a place called Khajuraho. The simple city of love. The whole temple is based on Kama Sutra. You can see the forms making a different type of love. But we cannot do that kind of love. They are very more of acrobatic and yogi only. Listen, they are only yogis can do, who can do that kind of thing. But the whole system is, and the whole universe is running on the cosmic energy. You see, like a negative current, negative and positive. When you touch us, only the energy comes, you know.
Sparks fly.
So likewise, people take for granted, when you make love, the male and female is joining, and then you are producing a great energy that is a kind of children, you know, born. So many miracles happening. But take everything we take for granted. Even a woman, she doesn't know what's happening in her tummy, you know, for 9 months. She doesn't know. Oh, first month, ninth month, you get delivery. All, you know, hospitals are there. Take it out. Finished off. But they don't know the steps, the nature, you know, playing the part.
As an artist, you're trying to talk about this creative force. Yeah. But, you know, in your depiction, some of the works that you have done, I suspect the public galleries will not hang them because they say there's too much something that suggests the genitalia.
It is a human, you know, habit, you know. They forget their origins. You know, like a caterpillar, beautiful butterfly. How is the origin? You see, you know, the origin of a butterfly. It is from caterpillar. And they go and hide inside one place, and then after some days it comes with the wings and beautiful, colorful butterfly, make the, you know, whole world brighter. It takes only 48 days, you know, spend life. Within that 48 days, it makes the whole world bright, you know.
Brings joy to the world.
Joy to the world, and then disappear. Likewise, we are in our mother's womb, and then 9 months we develop so many faces, you know. It's nature, but it's automatically does. We come out as a little child and then we grow up. Oh, we forget our origin.
So we should be hanging those kinds of paintings.
Yeah, we must realize. We must realize that only we must realize and appreciate God's creativity. God's force is behind everything.
So when we look at your paintings, what do you want us to feel or see or sense?
Yeah, it's happiness. Happiness is anti stress. You know, you go there, you know, when you buy,
forget everything.
For everything, and you will be flying with the colors. And then you realize that simple colors, simple strokes of lines gives you that kind of feeling and all, you know. It's a kind of satisfaction. Satisfaction. And relaxation. It is antidote for stress.
Do you think your paintings are, for the most part, happy paintings?
All of them are happy.
All of them?
Yeah. I am always a very positive thinker. I am positive. No point to think about the negative. Of course, in our life, it's a yin and yang, that is positive and negative. Always, you cannot separate the negative part. You have to go through everything like a standard one, standard two, standard three. You have to pass, you know. Until the PhD have to pass. So no pain, no gain, like that. You have to go through all these things.
No, when I look at your painting, just by looking at the colors, I mean, they seem to be radiating a kind of happiness and a kind of lust for life.
Yeah. It is honey-hued colors. honey-hued colors it is. It is not me, you know. I have nothing to say. It is a God's... You see, the space is so vast, energy is there. The same, the air breathed by our father, by grandfathers, great-great-grandfather, all the energy, you know, the energy that we goes in. We have to breathe in a lot of, you know, because so many millions of holes inside, you know. So you breathe in, breathe out, slow relaxation. Slowly you can understand our surroundings.
How do you reconcile the fact that you are a Muslim, you are an artist, and the fact that, you know, you paint figurative works, and which at one time you were teaching figurative drawings at Mara, and then you were asked not to? How do you reconcile all these differences?
In God's creations, human beings are the most, you know, highest form of creations, you know. You understand? We just appreciate of his creations. So by doing this, it is appreciation and tribute to God's creations. Of course, we artists cannot give life. Only God can give life. Only God can create. We only duplicate and enjoying his creations. And then with that creations, others also can enjoy, because all the people cannot paint and do. We create them and make others happy. That's what it's all about.
How would you describe your figurative drawings? I mean, they are not photorealistic. How would you describe them?
Surrealism.
Surreal.
Surreal. So you see, in this part of the world, the Southeast Asian features, if you look at it, you will find only the lips and the eyes. The nose is always flat, you know, that's flat.
Not your nose.
Southeast Asian, from the China, all the Malays, all this.
Yeah, flat noses, yes.
But it doesn't matter. They are beauty. You know, with my painting, you won't find any nose there. Only the eyes and the lips only. But it is very attractive and pretty. Not necessarily you to have a big nose and all. So I try to figure, that's my style. That's my really, anybody can recognize me with my paintings.
Oh, because when I was looking at them, I thought, Mick Jagger, maybe because he's a child of the 60s. And with Mick Jagger quite popular then, that's where this Mick Jagger lips.
Yeah, the lips actually is voluptuous lips and all, I give you life, it's a life.
It's also where you kiss.
Because that is, you see the ladies, they put the lipstick, you know, the attraction, let's say that the red, they capture you. So I play with it. Some or other, I stick to it. I like it, I stick to it. And then I follow all this for 40 years.
Well, you have your book in front of me, and I can see it's a really beautiful book with your photograph in black and white with that shock of white beard, of course, your shiny pate. Majestic photograph.
I have to credit to the photographer, and this was taken because of a retrospective. And the Penang Museum, you know, I have to thank them, you know, inviting me and then printing a beautiful book for me. And then all my 50 years of works, you can see my evolution of my life and my paintings, how it's evolved in all these years. It's a beautiful collector's book for art.
Well, I didn't realize that some of your paintings are like 25 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah.
Huge works.
I want to emphasize here, see, every country has its own legendary stories and fairy tales, you know, folk tales, all everything. That are the traces for as the culture, you know. If you take away, you know, because no records, you know, no historical this thing and all, and that is a very falsehood. It is very unjust to the next generation to enjoy, you know. You see, if you go to UK, you ask a school student, who is your hero? He will say Robin Hood. Robin Hood is also legendary, but they preserve it. If you go to Middle Eastern countries, you know, Alibaba, 40 Thieves, Sinbad, the Sailor, all kind of things, you know, now they become universal because of the cartoons, you know, Disney cartoons. Like if you go to China and India, there are so many, you know, legendary stories and all. It's a treasure for the children to see because the characters, the stories line all very positive character. Likewise, we have our own Hang Tuah, you know. He's a very big character and then very positive character for the children. We shouldn't sideline all these things. That's why I trouble to make all the legendary stories.
You know, if I were to be the curator of your retrospective, I would call it the title slightly different. Like I would say, visualizer of Malaysian stories from standard 4 till now.
Yeah.
Syed Tajuddin, thank you very much for coming in. Syed Tajuddin, a retrospective is being held at the Penang State Museum and Art Gallery and will run till the end of the year. This is Front Row and a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.